The Second Battle of Trenton. On December 27, 1776, after winning a decisive victory against Hessian troops at Trenton, George Washington moved his army across the Delaware River into Pennsylvania. As he settled into his headquarters near Newtown, Bucks County, about 20 miles from Trenton, Washington celebrated the American victory but knew that he had provoked the enemy. A misstep at this crucial time could ruin the Revolution forever. Washington had a difficult decision to make. His troop had marched and fought for 60 hours in the snow and rain. Many were suffering from fever, consumption, and frostbite. Everyone was exhausted, and the coldest weather still lay ahead. The risk of another winter campaign was great, but this inaction was even more dangerous. With the assistance of his aides, Washington decided that another attack on Trenton was essential and ordered his troops to prepare yet another crossing of the ice-strewn Delaware River. Meanwhile, General Lord Charles Cornwallis of the British Army had been looking forward to a trip home to England to see his wife, Jemima. In fact, on December 27th, he had sent his baggage aboard the HMS Bristol. But after the disaster at Trenton, his leave was promptly canceled and he was ordered to Princeton. A very unhappy Cornwallis took command of the British forces there on January 1, 1777. He had one clear mission: to find the American army and destroy it. First Presbyterian Church. Lord Cornwallis decided to mount an attack on Trenton from the north, with a march straight down the King's Highway, roughly following the course of present-day Route 206. On the morning of January 2, 1777, Cornwallis led an army of 9,000 men towards Trenton. Washington sent 1,000 men and artillery to delay the British advance, buying him time to fall back from his position in town and establish a strong defensive position on the high ground south of the Assunpink Creek, about two blocks to the southeast of where you are now standing. With a series of skirmishes on the road to Trenton, Washington's army was indeed able to delay the British until 4 o'clock that afternoon. The British arrived in Trenton just before sunset, and the chase was on. The American forces headed for the bridge over the Assunpink Creek to secure their position. The British and Hessian troops charged down King and Queen Streets in pursuit. As the soldiers fired feverishly at one another, the streets of Trenton were once again consumed by the sounds of battle. The Americans suffered early casualties in the beginning of this Second Battle of Trenton. Look at the plaque on the facade of the Presbyterian Church. Beneath the name of Abraham Hunt, you will see the name of John Roseborough. Roseborough was a Presbyterian clergyman from Northampton County, Pennsylvania, who at the age of 63 joined the Army as chaplain of the 3rd Battalion of the Northampton County Militia. On January 2, 1777, he was caught by Hessian troops as they marched through Trenton. The Hessians followed their orders to take no prisoners. Roseborough's body was later found with 13 bayonet wounds. John Roseborough was the first American clergyman to be killed in battle during the Revolution, and he is buried here in the First Presbyterian Churchyard. While furious fighting did occur in the streets of downtown Trenton, the bridge crossing the Assunpink Creek was the true focus of the Second Battle of Trenton and is the next stop on this tour. To reach the bridge, walk one half block west on East State Street to the intersection of Broad Street. Turn left on Broad Street and walk two blocks south. the Broad Street Bridge over the Assunpink. Washington planned a strong defensive battle that centered on this bridge across the Assunpink Creek and on the high ground to the south, though the landscape looked very different in 1777. Though a stone arch bridge did span the Assunpink Creek here during the time of the Revolution, the core of the bridge that you are standing on today dates back to the 19th century. At the time of the Second Battle of Trenton, the most important grist mill in the region operated on this creek, and you can still see the mill's foundations on the south bank of the creek. In 1777, the lawn you see across the creek today was the site of a large pond that provided water power for the mill. Other than a few scattered houses, the high ground to the south of the creek was largely undeveloped. Washington had learned the value of this piece of ground during the first battle. It was an ideal location to set up artillery and cover the fords across the Assunpink. But it also gave the Americans no choice but to win. The large slabs of ice that choked the Delaware River prohibited any possible retreat across the river, and a line of British soldiers were in position between the Americans and the rising ground to the north, as well as to the rear in South Jersey. The fate of the Revolution rested on the American defense of this bridge. One American private wrote, "On 1 hour, yes, on 40 minutes, commencing at the moment when the British troops first saw the bridge and the creek before them, depended the all-important and all-absorbing question, whether we should be independent states or conquered rebels." The British made three attacks on this bridge. At about 5 o'clock in the evening, the British tried to cross the lower fords but were quickly rebuffed. Next, Hessian troops tried to storm the bridge. Shots rang out for about 12 full minutes as the American artillery responded to the Hessian fire. But the tenacious Hessian soldiers pushed forward, making it about halfway across the bridge before they were driven back. The Hessian advance was then followed by a force of British infantry who tried to seize the bridge. Of this third attempt, an American sergeant later wrote, "We fired all together again, and such destruction it made you cannot conceive. The bridge looked red as blood, with their killed and wounded and red coats." That was the end of the fighting. Though no definitive report of casualties has survived for this battle, it was likely that nearly 365 British and Hessian soldiers were killed, wounded, or captured. In light of the casualties, as darkness fell, General Cornwallis remarked that he would bag the fox the next morning and called off the attacks for the night. The Americans had won another decisive victory at Trenton, and again, General Washington had faced difficult decisions. Washington responded in the way he had always had. He summoned his senior officers to a council of war to be held at the Douglas House, the quarters of General Arthur St. Clair. To reach the present site of the Douglas House, walk one block north on Broad Street to Front Street. Turn right on Front Street and walk one block east to the intersection of Montgomery Street. Douglas House. Though removed from its original location on South Broad Street and physically altered since 1777, the Douglas House remains one of Trenton's most tangible surviving links to the events of the American Revolution. On the evening of January 2nd, 1777, General Washington held a council of war in this house. The meeting was attended by Washington and leading members of his staff. Washington led this meeting as he had done so many previous councils. He laid out the problems before the army and solicited advice. He encouraged open and active discussion among those present. Should the Americans attack again? Should they retreat? Several officers suggested neither direct attack nor retreat, but an attack in the enemy's rear. The bold idea of an attack on Princeton and New Brunswick gained momentum in the council. Washington had made the decision to secretly remove the main American force from Trenton and retreat to the backwoods to Princeton. A skeleton force was left behind to feed campfires and further the illusion that the army was still entrenched. Most of Washington's army left its positions on the Assunpink Creek between midnight and 2 o'clock in the morning and arrived in Princeton just after dawn on January 3rd. Washington's timely withdrawal set the stage for a successful engagement with the enemy at Princeton the following day. The battles of Trenton drastically altered the course of the Revolutionary War. Prior to the two battles of Trenton, the American army faced near certain defeat. But with two astounding victories right here in the streets of Trenton, Washington proved that the American army could stand up to the world's greatest military force. For the British, Trenton was a lost opportunity. Had Cornwallis successfully pushed across the Assunpink Bridge, the Revolutionary War would have ended right there. Instead, Lord Cornwallis would go on to fight to the bitter end. The war raged on for another 6 years until he laid down the colors of the British Army in the final surrender at Yorktown, Virginia. Trenton was not the beginning or the end of the Revolutionary War, but it was certainly at its crossroads, the turning point.
The members of the Board of Trustees
of the Trenton Historical Society, thank you for taking this tour of Revolutionary Trenton, which was produced by the Trenton Historical Society under the generous grant from the New Jersey Historical Commission. Please visit the Old Barracks Museum for more information on Colonial Trenton and the Revolutionary War. Built in 1758 to house British soldiers, the Old Barracks is the last remaining structure of its kind. This renowned state and national historical landmark is located on Barrack Street in Trenton.